You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Billy Gill has been wanting to ask Ron McGill some questions for a while now because he saw some trophies in Ron McGill's office. We want to go through some of the other things in his office in a second, but is this different from the work office? No, this is still the work office. Billy, what was your question about what in the background there did you want to ask about?
So I saw Ron put up a picture not too long ago. I think it was with Eric Spoelstra. It appeared to be in his office. And behind him, there were multiple, I believe, two or three Emmys that were just kind of hanging out in the background of the picture. But for some reason, that's not in the background you ever have with us. We just have, like, weird animal skulls. So, like, why is it that you have, like, the actual valuable things hidden, but then, like, the weird, like, murderer stuff out like, in plain sight for the rest of the show?
It's not that weird murderer stuff. I have the photographs of people that are very important to me, including my family and my friends. There's a skull there. I don't think trophies and awards are something that needs to be bragged about or shown or anything like that. People who put all their trophies and stuff behind them and stuff like that, that just to me is a symbol of insecurity. See, that's why I like you guys. Look, you got a picture of Cody sitting on the toilet. I love that. Okay, I want to be more real. And the real for me is my family and my friends, not trophies and awards.
They were front and center for that Spoelstra picture there.
They were in the office, and where you were taking pictures that were being disseminated among the influencers, we saw your Emmys.
Well, I can't ask Eric to sit down here. It's just when we stand there. Okay, enough with the flamingo pictures, enough with all the other stuff you guys are rubbing in my face. Okay. By the way, that picture you're holding up there is not my flamingo picture. That's Tim Chapman's flamingo picture that he took a couple of hurricanes after Hurricane Andrew. Mine was the original. It's not that one. Mine's better than that one.
Bonafide.
Did you happen to see, Ron, that there was another flamingo picture taken during this storm that one of the zoos put out there that they did the exact same thing that you did?
Yeah, Sunken Gardens. And I looked at it as a sense of, a form of flattery. I think it's great that they realize that, listen, they try something at work. Let's try it. It worked for them, too. And it becomes part of protocol now for zoos. Okay, I see Whittingham's already looking for the photograph.
Well, let's call out this thief, Tim Chapman, okay? He was great.
He's not a thief.
Listen to me.
He's one of the greatest photographers I've ever had the privilege of working
with. I know who Tim Chapman is. I don't need to hear his bona fides from you. I will do the defending here. I will create the scandal. Tim Chapman is one of the great, not just South Florida photographers of all time, great American journalist photographer, for sure.
Absolutely.
But in this instance, he's a thief who stole your work. Probably herded the flamingos into the bathroom himself, trying to grift off your great photograph.
I don't mean
to. I will say that Tim got a little too close. If you look at Tim's pictures, they're kind of like running away and huddling into the corner. I like to stay a little further back. I didn't want to stress out the animals. But Tim wanted a little bit more of an action shot, and they're kind of trying to run through the wall there to get away from him.
See, this is what I'm saying. Now, that not just a thief and a grifter and a copycat, but also someone who startled the animals so that he could get the better photograph.
Sounds like he's overrated.
My fault, guys, because I should have said you should have stayed back a little bit more, Tim. Tim's not necessarily an animal guy. He's one of the best environmentalists I've ever seen. He's a champion for wildlife and for the environment. He needed to get a good picture. He got a great picture. He remembered the photograph I took during Hurricane Andrew. I think this was Hurricane, I don't know which hurricane that was, but it was like a couple of years later, and we were still putting the flamingos in a bathroom. So then everybody and their brother said, hey, we got to get that picture because it was a great picture.
It's kind of a better picture. They're all looking in the mirror. It looks like they're kind of like using the bathroom. Also, Ron, something that we noticed after we talked to you last week about it, flamingos are tall as hell, huh? Because like we always see flamingos and they're like knee deep in water. So you don't realize because they're often, how tall are flamingos? Because we were trying to compare where we would be standing in relation to the sinks that are in that picture. Those flamingos have to be like 6 or 7 feet tall.
No. Between 4 and 5 feet, yes.
No, not these.
Okay. I'm just telling you, between 4 and 5 feet, generally speaking. You might get one, you know, outsider like a Ron McGill compared to you guys, but it's not.
Unnecessary. Look, no, unnecessary.
I'm just saying, I'm the freak. You guys are normal. Flamingos, normally speaking, are between 4 and 5 feet tall.
Ron, over the past couple of years, we've seen some animal activists on the playing surface of major sporting events. Is this really helping?
A major what events? Sporting events.
Yes.
You there was one at the 49ers-Rams game.
Bobby Wagner is not. You don't
Bobby
want to be,
Wagner took him out.
You knew Bobby Wagner would, right? You knew Bobby Wagner would. If there's anyone protesting, Bobby Wagner is not what you want around.
I'm going to say this, guys. Listen, I believe extremism in any form is dangerous. I believe that's why, and I'm not trying to patronize you guys, why I cherish to speaking with you guys, because I'm able to, you know, inform other people who might not necessarily be focused on watching National Geographic or, you know, The Animal Planet or something like that. These are people who might say, hey, you know, I never knew that, because they're into sports, they're into the things you guys talk about, and you've opened up a whole other world for me. I mean, I get emails almost every day from listeners of this show who just say wonderful things. You know, I had a guy just send me an email now who emailed me, oh my God, there's a squirrel in my yard, I don't know what to do. I told him what to do, I told him to get a rehab or you got to he just sent me back the nicest email saying, the guy came, saved the squirrel, thank you so much. These are things that I treasure with this relationship with this show. Getting out in the middle of a field and making yourself look like an asshole is not necessarily the best thing to do. That's extremism. And extremism, to me, just puts people off. It doesn't really. You might make people aware, but you're making people aware that you're a jerk.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does asshole seem like even more of an insult when it's delivered by Ron McGill?
Because I'm sorry.
Because he's a kind and decent ass. But also, I'd also like, by the end of this segment, please, a top five list of people who will make you put down all of your principles if they're going to tackle you. I think Bobby Wagner should be somewhere on this list.
It's a weird thing you're doing with Bobby there.
No, it's not. I don't think it's weird. I always think of Bobby as being in the right place, doing the right thing. I don't wish to be tackled by him. I will put down all my principles at his feet and say, that's fine. Please don't tackle me.
Also, Ron, the person who bothered you with a question about a squirrel in their yard, probably not exactly the best use of your time.
They didn't bother me, Chris. They didn't bother me.
You're very feisty today, Ron. I mean,
no, I really am inspired by these people. They give me hope. They give me a sense of like, wow, you know, we really are doing something positive on this show in a lot of ways.
If you want to contribute to Ron McGill's substantive endowment, the work that he is doing in the animal kingdom is substantive and it is meaningful. Can you tell us, Ron, what is happening? I know the devastation of Hurricane Ian in Fort Myers and beyond. Stugatz, I don't know. Puerto Rico had like 25 deaths. We're at 100 and counting on just human life. And I also imagine that there's been great disruption of the animal kingdom, Ron. So I don't know how much help Fort Myers needs from you to take care of its animals, or if their animals have just been taken out.
Well, no. The closest zoo there is the Naples Zoo. And I've been in communication with the director at the Naples Zoo. Things there so far, you know, they've got some huge challenges, some flooding, some destruction. But I haven't heard of any catastrophic loss of life or anything in the animal collection. I'm still waiting to hear back from him again. We've kind of been in intermittent communication here. But the Naples Zoo, Tim Tetzlaff, who's the director out there, is a great guy. They have a great staff. You know, they are going to go through some challenges, but we've made it very clear to them that we're here for them for whatever they need.
I saw on social media, Ron, a video of the last surviving Tasmanian tiger that was recorded in 1933. Yes. They colorized the footage. It makes me think, what is the extinct animal that you think either the world or just you personally miss the most?
Oh, that's a hard thing. I've always really wanted to see a dodo. I think the dodo bird seemed like something that was almost drawn as a, you know, a caricature of an animal. It was a massive animal. I would love to see a dodo. I think a dodo is, you know, it's become symbolic for extinct species.
Ron, thank you for being on with us, buddy. Good talking to you. Appreciate the time, as always. Thank you, sir.
Have a good week. Take care.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Don Lebatard.
I don't think in 2021 I can get away with my Michael Irvin radio show impression.
No, probably not.
Stugatz.
Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Kev.
That's okay. I think that's still okay. I think you can do
it. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, Kev.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stugatz, I wanted to ask you yesterday, and with no degree of irony, okay, I can't tell you how great it is to go from Local Hour and Big Suey and getting nostalgic about 790 The Ticket and talking about the emotional radio business and how proud we were to change the game once upon a time, and then immediately after that going into a segment where we were naming baseball managers. Naming baseball managers. And yeah, doing overrated football quarterbacks. But I wanted to ask you, based on, I was watching one of the games this weekend, and there was a stiff arm. And I think it was Chris Myers. It sounded like Jonathan Vilma to me. And Chris Myers asked Jonathan Vilma, what is the worst stiff arm that you've ever been on the wrong end of? And I think it was Jonathan Vilma who refused to answer the question. A no comment from your broadcast.
Really?
A no comment from your broadcaster, because he simply didn't, I guess, want to remind anybody of whatever it was to be on the wrong end of that.
It's a good teammate.
But how is that a good teammate, though?
It's a terrible teammate.
Yeah, a terrible teammate in broadcasting, good teammate in football.
Yes.
He didn't want to acknowledge that he had ever been stiff-armed as a linebacker. That, I guess it would be a diminishment of his pride if he had ever acknowledged that somebody stiff-armed him.
Does anyone understand that, though? The no comment? The no comment from your broadcaster?
Does anybody understand the pride of man? I am familiar with it.
I won't
tell you what's the worst stiff arm I received. I refuse flatly.
What do you want with and from your broadcast? You guys have seen, right, that Dude Perfect has arrived in a place where they're building an amusement park, and they are part of the Amazon experience. I know Stugatz has been critical, doesn't love the Amazon experience so far after a couple of games. I think it's pretty hard to put on a broadcast. I think just because it's been made to look easy by these people who have done it for a long time, there are going to be things that you're not going to like about new voices, new broadcasts doing different things. I don't know if you've gotten tired yet of the Manning cast or if they fixed their production issues yet.
I've kind of grown tired of the Manning cast. With Amazon, though, the only objection I have to it, Kirk Herbstreit is actually a lot better than I thought he would be doing NFL games. Very good, very informative. Al Michaels is, of course, great. It's just the cameras seem too close. It's like a weird, at least for me, the way they shoot the game and the picture, everything just seems too, I feel like I'm in the huddle. It's a little bit weird.
I think it looks beautiful. Yeah.
No, I might get used to it.
It's like
4K broadcast.
I'm not saying I won't. Yeah, so I think the Amazon games really pop on television. I've given a shot to their side broadcast. I thought I would like the Next Gen Stats Prime Vision one. A little busy on the screen for me. I wasn't crazy about the angle, so I went back to the traditional broadcast, and the broadcast, it's as comfortable as milquetoast as humanly possible. You have two voices that have been a part of your television sports experience for the last 25 years at least, and with Michaels longer than that. The graphic package is pretty basic. There's nothing to offend you about the Prime broadcast. It's not exactly cutting edge in terms of the traditional broadcast. They do some different things on the side broadcast, but I think it has mass appeal.
I'm asking you guys what you want as we live in the changing of the entertainment age and how all of this stuff is going to get parsed. And the customer is going to be asked to change some behaviors. And I'm asking you, as I've been asking you for a while, I've wanted so badly here to be competition in this space that also is willing to shake against the conservative boundaries of how football wants to be presented. Football's only going to let you make so many jokes. Like, football takes itself incredibly seriously, and I don't know how you guys feel a broadcast should handle what happened with Tua, but there are a number of different places where we're headed toward a future where the broadcast partners, in combination with the NFL, will have to mask some things that require billion-dollar settlements or in a lawsuit against Kaepernick. The broadcasts are accenting and showing you something the way the NFL wants it presented, because the NFL is king sport, because the NFL, quiet as it's kept, actually runs these networks. When they ask for something, there's no bucking against it. We're the NFL. We get what it is that we want. If you do not like the way that we're doing things here, we've got 70 other people here who would love to have our broadcast.
But the affiliation with the NFL is so important and so lucrative to these networks that why would you risk it? You know, just have a different broadcast. Why not just do what the NFL wants you to do?
Well, I'm just asking you. I'm not even asking you as a condemnation. I'm asking the customer what the customer wants. You're two games in. You're going to have your complaints in how a new entity does its broadcast, because these things are hard. They're armies of people to put these things together. I don't think just because we've gotten used to, hey, these don't have blips, and if I lose DirecTV for 4 minutes during the red zone, I'm furious at everyone in the technological era. If I lose it for 4 minutes, like, you can't get these things wrong because a lot of people are watching and they rarely get them wrong. I've been impressed by what Amazon has done so far because of how hard this stuff is.
They certainly have the resources, but it's the first time that they've done it. They also hired a bunch of people. It's not their first rodeo, that have loads of experience in the field. And it's fun. And I'm cool with the NFL having so much power over what their broadcasts look like, because you know what? NFL broadcasts are awesome. They're always great. It looks amazing on television. It beats the in-game experience in most cases. It's flatly perfect. And what they do with NFL films, if you watch Inside the NFL, that access, it's beautifully shot, wonderfully produced. They know what they're doing in this field. I don't come away with any broadcast of a football game, unless it's the commentators that rub me the wrong way, saying, wow, that's a bad broadcast.
The Manning casts, I have not been watching them of late. I know they have their viral moments, and I like that. Through the Manning family, royal family of football, as all of these quarterbacks, Stugatz, the Romos, the Bradys, they all, the Aikmans, they usher us into the next broadcasting voice.
Well, Brady's still playing.
Paid a lot of money, yes, but when he's done, he's then going into broadcasting.
Right.
Manning is trying to build a business. Manning is looking at what Draymond Green is doing, what McAfee is doing, and Manning wants to. In this age, because you don't think that Manning and Brady aren't going to be competing for stuff in the afterlife, right?
No, I'm certain they're going to be, yeah,
like
of course.
They're against each other, competing for spaces in the afterlife. The Manning family has teamed with ESPN to run its own production company. Hey, Eli, you can be in your basement. I'll be over here. 16 weeks a year, we'll have somebody produce it for us, and ESPN will build this for us so that we make it whatever we want when it's not with ESPN anymore. We will make ESPN build it for us, and then we will have our own thing, and it'll be a production company, and it'll be a media thing, a media empire. What do you think of their broadcast so far? They're bringing millions of people to a side broadcast by being the Mannings, millions of people who want something different. Are they getting young people? Are they catering to young people? What's happening on the Manning cast?
I think the charm of it, for me at least, it's worn off a bit because it's so reliant on, and it's all, and in the promotion of it, it's all about who the guests are and who they're having on. And sometimes the guests are good, sometimes the guests are bad. Sometimes they have trouble meshing and mixing correctly with the guests. But What I want is Peyton and Eli to be Peyton and Eli. Like, I want them to tell me what's going to happen, why it happened, taking shots at quarterbacks like they did with Russell Wilson last week. That was enjoyable. They shouldn't be so reliant on guests, because I think Peyton and Eli could kind of do it themselves and produce a very informative and very fun broadcast or sidecast to an NFL game.
So when do people not want giant famous guests?
I think they actually took that criticism to heart. That's one of the pivots that they made for season two. They used to have four guests. Now they have three. And I thought the Manning cast was at its best when it was just Peyton and Eli breaking down the game.
Yeah.
That's what drew me to it. I don't really care what Tracy Morgan has to say. If he says something funny, I'll catch it on Twitter. If I'm going for expert quarterback analysis from the Manning family, a name that's gold at that position, I want to hear them talk about the game, and the guest just gets in the way of that.
That's interesting. So you're telling me that football is so much of the addiction that where you would go as an entertainment and a viewing experience in the future is you want hyper analysis that informs you better while the Mannings are trying to give you entertainment around that that isn't as confining as we're just going to break down games for you.
I hope that I'm almost out of Manning takes, Manning cast takes. But for me, that's when the show really shines. It's when the timing is the best. It's when... I understand the need for mass appeal and having guests that people are going to tune in to watch Steph Curry, and that stuff has a place. But for me, strip it all down, and I just want to see the Mannings talk about the broadcast.
There is a degree where, hey, you've been doing this. It's a second season now. Like, get your chemistry down, get all your stuff together, get the production levels together. Like, they don't.
I don't want to watch Peyton Manning do an interview. I have a representative sample on the Mannings interview skill, and I understand there's some good moments and there's some bad. I am always going to be interested in hearing Peyton and Eli discuss a game and what's going on and these situations, and Peyton Manning saying timeout 48 times in a 2 minute span, that stuff interests me.
But they're also not broadcast professionals, right? So, like, shy of having a host, they kind of need the guest as a crutch to fill 4 hours of content, because just them breaking down the game is not going to be that entertaining. And there's times that you see where they just like are quiet, like, hey, Eli, what'd you think about that? And Eli's just kind of like staring off at the game. So
it's a 2 yard run play. Nothing happened there.
That's what those broadcasts are. Those broadcasts, and I've long thought that they should have a host there. They want to be the host of it. The guest, I don't think it really adds much for, okay, I guess I'm not out of Manning cast talks, although I want to be. I really do. Like,
well,
I don't want to talk about
conflict?
It anymore.
Okay, well, so you're not interested in what's going to evolve in the broadcast space to bring you a different broadcast that you're used to with football that either incorporates, you're sitting here having hope for Next Gen Stats, and then you get there and you're like, not that interested.
No, because the way that they've done it is pretty cool.
Don't you think that there is a place where learning things slowly, the way television executives do, learning them slowly with football as a conservative epicenter, as your partner, you don't think that everyone in a competitive space can learn from each other on a broadcast to make it just a little bit different so we can evolve it into the next space that gets young people?
Yeah, there are little tweaks that they can do here and there. There's the first down marker, revolutionary. That's great stuff. I like what Amazon's doing and telling me exactly how short a kick is. I like that stuff, but these are little minor tweaks to essentially is a classic traditional football broadcast. I think there's a time for the all 22 cam, and it's not every time because it's too much going on. I like the traditional aspect. There's, again, to my original point, there's nothing wrong with the NFL broadcast. They're amazing at it. There's a reason why you see the same camera angles and everyone kind of does it the same cookie cutter way, because it's damn near perfect.
I also think that, like, most of these alternate feeds of sporting events are almost too distracting. Like, there's a reason why they created the construct of the sports broadcast the way that it is. It presents you the information in the most efficient manner possible. And so anytime you veer from that, it's almost like, all right, I have to reorient myself. Like, I'll watch sometimes the college football national championship game with the coaches film because it's, for me, not fundamental that I understand every single play of that game. I'm not completely invested in another Alabama national championship. But if I can watch it in a feed in which maybe I'm learning something new, but if I actually care about the outcome of the sporting event, there is no real way in which I'm going to be effectively delivered that information in a more cogent and coherent way.
Seeing Peyton and Eli interview John Hamm is something I thought I wanted to see. Excuse me. Excuse me. That's $5. I thought it's something I wanted to see.
Where's the $5?
I have it in my pocket. Well,
someone won the fine bucket last week. you owe like $400.
I won the fine bucket.
No, you didn't. Mike Ryan won the fine bucket, and you had so many IOUs.
You just always do that stuff. That's $5, and you never actually
put it. So many IOUs.
But I think Mike was drawing for me, so I think I won it.
No, I wasn't. I don't know. You're just flatly lying right now.
Okay, so here's four. Well, I have a four, and I have a Twinsky. So here, I'll put the 20 in there.
I'm very happy that these other side broadcasts exist. If I'm giving that off with Manning Cast, if I'm giving the opposite opinion, no, I like it. I digest them via social media during the breaks of the actual traditional broadcast. When the coaches do the national championship game, same way. To me, it's the exclusive domain of social media for me because nothing tops a traditional broadcast.
But I like the two of them breaking down that the pass that Jimmy Garoppolo made to Deebo Samuel was actually a bad pass. Like, I want to know that. It was a bad pass. If he threw it correctly, it would have been picked off and gone the other way for 6 points, but he threw it high. And I like the Mannings telling me that. I don't want to see them interview John Hamm. I want them to inform me on what it is I'm watching.
But they do that while they have the guest. I mean, it's possible that this just isn't for you guys, right? Like, it's not supposed to be a traditional broadcast. It's more like giving off a communal, hey, I'm watching the game with my friends, Peyton and Eli, and whoever their guests are, right? But it's not intended to replace an actual broadcast. And I think what they're doing while they have their technical flaws is it's pretty impressive. I mean, we ourselves have done maybe four or five of these, and they're not easy to do. Like, we have Chris juggling oranges at some point because it's like we need to fill time. We have looks like that we have as crutches. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, and they're doing it with next to no experience broadcasting at all, and they don't have anyone kind of guiding them. It's just the two of them out there and whatever guest it is that they're able to kind of bring on.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought three for my wife, daughter, and myself for game one. I live it because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Libertard.
I think I'd like to know when I'm going to die, because I sort of romanticize the idea of like living like you were dying. Yeah. When you're on a countdown clock, imagine all the life experiences. Like, I could go skydiving or Rocky Mountain climbing.
Stugatz.
Roy brings up a point, though. Like, Roy does bring up a point. Like, you might be risking paralysis.
That's totally trampled my bit. Yes. Just totally trampled my
bit. But, Mike, what if, God forbid, it says you're going to die in like a week? What if it says a week, though? Like, or 2 days or a month? I don't want to know that.
Well, then you just love deeper and speak sweeter and give forgiveness to those that you've been denying. Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Do you have more, or is that it?
No, thank you guys for letting me go through that smoothly.
This is the Don Libertar Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Can we do a couple of things here that require a bit of housekeeping? Because, Mike Ryan, how much do you believe that Stugatz owes from the fine bucket? You won it last week, and you opened up, and how much did you find in there?
$460.
Wow, congratulations.
So it was an automatic death and $460, but how many IOUs were there from Stugatz?
Zero IOUs. Zero.
He took out the IOUs?
There's,
he took out
no
the pieces?
Notes that said we threw
all caught up, yep.
Okay, so what is the ruling from the group on—
The ruling is, so that's money I'm never going to see.
Right. There was that week, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Dan had a terrible week where I think he probably owes you like $200, right?
It's just money that I'm never going to see. Fine bucket is whatever in there.
Not nice to say like about Dan.
There's just, I'm not going to come collect, guys. Don't worry. We're good. It's fine. I'm grateful that there was that much in there.
Well, the other bit of housekeeping is I think today would be a good day for you to eat the 3 plies of toilet paper.
No, I don't. I will eventually on my time.
What does that mean?
It means I'm good for it. I will do it at some point. Today's right. Not a good day. I'm not going to just pick a random toilet paper here. I got to shop around.
Yep.
And see what I got to make
anything,
sure what's
this is better. No, if anything, this is probably better toilet paper. You don't want to go with like a nice thick toilet paper. You want to go with like
one ply.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going single ply.
Yeah. Yeah. No single one.
I'm going to put it in a blender and
you don't want Charmin.
Maybe I'll do it Billy's this trying week. To say. Who knows? Yeah.
Put Angel Soft is what I'm
going to put it in a blender and then just pour it into a smoothie and not taste the difference.
But not today.
Certainly not today.
Okay.
I don't know how much you can complain out. About the Stugatz IOUs. Not that you did. I was complaining about the Stugatz IOUs when you have this debt outstanding.
Now that we're talking about debts, I shouldn't have to pay mine off.
That's
the last
disputable.
Two. How is that disputable?
I mean, the fact that you don't know who teams are playing is on no one but yourself.
No, like, that's not true. No. I was given false information.
He was told that one of the teams that he selected was on a bye, and he selected them, and they played, and they lost.
Wow, so he's terrible.
He's blaming Whittingham
for
that.
Who told you? Oh, Whitty did?
Okay,
wow.
Great.
You had bye weeks starting already? I mean,
some college teams have had bye weeks already.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
If you have thank you for your service, that means if there's a team on a bye, that's the team you would take. And if you had that available to you 2 weeks in a row, that's what you should have been taking. But you didn't take it. So we need a ruling from Billy the Commissioner. What is the ruling?
I mean, I think that too bad, so sad should be the ruling that you should have known and whatever.
Oh, get the hell out of here, man. I was told
you,
know what?
You have the
different
same,
information.
Hold on. You have the same internet as everyone else. You could have figured it out. Now, this is what I'm willing to offer
well,
you.
Well, he asked question and got the wrong answer.
I didn't have the internet.
Army lost and Air Force won as a straight up doggy. You would have lost. Anyways,
so here's
that makes you feel better.
Guys, listen, here's the ruling. This is what we can do if you're willing to do this. If not, it's a loss. We can go get the bucket and you can draw a helmet out, and it's one helmet, one draw. And if that team won last week, you're safe. And if they lost, you lose.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I
Let's
like
go.
That. Oh, wow.
I am willing. I'm willing to fall on the sword and take
Sorry,
Roy's punishment. Okay.
No.
A ruling has been made.
All right, go get the Reaper. And in the interim, let me ask the question. Is the Reaper available? I don't think the Reaper works on Tuesdays. We will find out dramatically what happens with Roy and the ruling in a moment. But the thing that I wanted to ask Billy and the rest of you, I saw where Dana White was being interviewed, and he told people that he brought someone in to do a lot of blood work and DNA and spent 4 hours getting his blood studied so that he could be told exactly how long he had to live. He said his blood was a mess and he was given an amount of time. And my first question to you guys is, if you do all of that, what do you want that answer to be? That's my first question. Like when you go in and you badly want this information, okay? I don't know that I want to end up having the other conversation as well, which is, do you want this information? Do you want to know exactly how long you're going to live?
Well, it's made up. Like that's not real. You can't ask for a refund if you die before that. Like that's someone can go and hit Dana White with a car today and he will not live to be 104 years old.
Billy, that's not the point. The point is with the biological things that are happening in Dana's body and what he was and wasn't doing.
Yeah.
This guy Gary Brekel, he's not a doctor, but he's a human biologist.
Yeah.
Right. He was saying, look, if you keep going down this path, you're going to die in this amount of time because of things that are happening inside.
He was given 10.4 years.
Right, exactly.
And as part of Dana wasn't fully revealing with what he was doing. He said he was very close to being diabetic. He also said that he wakes up in the middle of every night and pukes. I mean, that sounds pretty terrible. But also, I want
to
know what goes into this data.
I mean.
Is this just like the food? Is this something your body naturally does?
You tell me the amount of stress.
Is this Jaeger? What is this?
That he is under.
F it Fridays is getting to him.
Yeah.
When he is telling people, I have the highest limit in Vegas. $150,000 to blackjack hands, $75,000 each. That's what he's allowed to play. And he says, I wish it were a million. He said he wants it to be a million. And my question to you is, can Dana White blow all that money? Or do you believe that he believes he can beat blackjack with card counting?
He could blow all that money. I mean, certainly. He has 10 years to do it, but he could blow all that money.
But he has money coming in, though, right?
Always. So yes.
You can't blow all the money.
Floyd's about to fight in Dubai. He's doing the end of Floyd's career is just grabbing a bunch of paychecks for exhibition fights, just pay per view. He's the original streamer. He figured out sports faster than most of us. He's his own business, but he goes through that money. I've told you the stories of he's just on the beach out here and pulls out a duffel bag and it's $10,000 for if I can have your chair.
Hasn't he been hinting that he's going to fight Conor again next year? Yeah. Oh, God, I can't wait.
Yep.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. Dana has a steady flow of new money always coming in. That's why I worry about Drake, but then I just realize, oh, surprise, here's an album, and you're good. It's usually how that one works, too.
The Reaper has arrived. The Reaper is ready. Let's go to a midweek bucket of death here.
The highest of stakes here. Yes. Boy, one draw. No matter what it is, there's no putting it back. One draw.
And it's the result. And don't have any writing on the helmet, please. Just be a helmet. And did the team win or lose last week?
Oh,
the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah,
I believe they lost.
Yeah. You're a loser. Loser.
Yeah. That was anticlimactic.
No, it would have if he had won. If everyone likes to see us lose. Don't we have other things that we have to pick now? Weren't you telling me that there are some available punishments?
We have 4 weeks of unselected punishments.
Well, can I hear what some of them are, please, so that I can make these selections?
I haven't lost yet. Roy has done a tremendous job picking for me. 4-0.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Billy, did you have any thoughts on one of the latest participants to Amazing Race, Rex Ryan?
Yeah,
what?
I do, but I can't give them to you right now.
Why not?
We're working on something. Yeah. I can't give it to you right now.
You're embargoing your thoughts on Rex Ryan.
There's something in the works, and let me just say I was inspired by a little canary that told me something that Mike Schur said about me when I was gone, that it got my creative juices flowing. I believe he said I was wasting my life watching reality television. And I, friend, am prepared to waste his having him listen to me talk about reality television.
Okay, so you don't have any thoughts.
They're being saved for the Mike Schur Memorial Amazing Race recap that will be coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
What is on the list of punishments that we have to select from here, and who has to do some selecting? Because you guys, I feel like you've been running out of ideas for about 3 or 4 years, and we have about twice as many people playing this game, so it feels like it's petered out, that there's not a lot left here other than a sponsorship.
Well, no, not entirely true. So there are a lot of people playing here. Now, we do have this list. Remember, Talk Like Christian is still on here. No one has selected that one yet.
What is that, Billy? I've asked 4 times what that is. No one knows what that is. Talk Amen. Like Christian. A Christian.
Talk Like Christian Bale and Batman.
No. We tracked it down to Talk Like Chris Cody, where you just have to combine words for an entire show. But it was apparently written down in a very quick sesh where it was like we're trying to keep up with the ideas that were flowing.
That whole session was very hasty.
Yeah.
It was a bipo.
Yeah.
It's a Google document that no one cares enough about to do correctly. And so you get Talk Like a Christian when it's just combining words all show like Chris Cody.
Yeah. What? So we have 4 weeks of losers that need to select. Right now, the people leading the pack of punishments needing to be selected. Greg has 2. Dan has 2 punishments needing to be selected. Amin has 1. Jessica has 2. Greg has 2. We did Greg already. Amin has 1. Stugatz is clean. I have 1. Mike has 1.
Yeah, I'll take the Talk Like Christian.
Yeah, Roy has 1. Okay, so Mike will talk like Christian.
It's a good one, yeah.
Witty's clean, too, Gun. I think. Oh, no, he has 1. No, he has 2. Witty has to pick 2 punishments, too. So we should probably do this off-air because lots of things need to be selected.
I noticed as soon as you started making the list.
Yeah.
Did you guys
When does my punishment start?
Speaking of lists, what was the weird list you wanted around Bobby Wagner?
top five people Wagner. That you'd give away all of your principles if they were nearby to tackle you. Because if I was protesting on behalf of the animals, Bobby Wagner is not. I mean, Aaron Donald would be worse, I suppose. But Bobby Wagner is not someone I'd want around me.
I think I have 5. I mean, you asked for a list. And so I tried to put one together because no one else was.
All right, get to it in a second. We will. But I remembered the other day where Tom Brady, a couple of weeks ago, you will remember, was driving down the field at the end in a game where they hadn't scored at all against the Packers, and there was a 2-point conversion at the end. They get one drive at the end, and they're going for the tie. and they get a delay of game on the two-point conversion, and it gets moved back. And I was saying at the time, Stugatz, Tom Brady mismanaging the clock in that situation is something that none of us could ever imagine. Turns out he did not. The league says,
of course he did.
The league says he was given 20 seconds and he was supposed to get 25. And it was the league screw up that cost the Bucks 5 yards. But I just ask you, and all the time we spend talking about the officiating and whatnot, shouldn't that one, when it happens to a champion, get a lot of attention when we're like, hey, we just kind of screwed that thing up at the end, where we're measuring every inch out here, everyone's showing replays, we're placing the ball. And then at the end, we get the clock wrong. He had it right in his head. We move you back 5 yards. You lose, Tom Brady. And Aaron Rodgers gets to do the victory lap of, I saw something on the scoreboard and it helped me win the game because they put something on their Jumbotron. But they got the clock wrong.
They did. They got it wrong.
We spent a lot of time analyzing these games.
He's been on the right end of a lot, though, Dan. It's okay. Like, he got a loss.
Oh, I'm just sort of more interested in the idea of, no, we had that right. He wouldn't have mismanaged the clock there. And it's ridiculous to think that those guys.
I mean, he got the whole tuck rule thing.
Stugatz understood. He's won at life. Not up for dispute here. All clear on that.
He gave Aaron a little winning.
I'm simply marveling at the way that we cover that sport. And then on one of these where it's like, 5 yards mistake, never mind.
There's a whole lot of imprecision in the game, considering how important theoretically their outcomes are. The moments for me where I feel the most are Lamar Jackson had one this past weekend, where he's sort of straddling the sideline and reaches the ball out, and a guy who's 10 yards
behind, they made it that fourth and one and shouldn't have.
No perspective on where the ball has gone out, just sort of guesses on where the ball ran out. The other one, too, you mentioned the clock. The Patriots scored a touchdown blatantly after there was a delay of game, and it seems like the play clock is now like 43 seconds because the referees will look up, then they'll look back down, and then the play can still happen. The quarterback's doing the clap thing to try and get the playoff, and it's so imprecise. Like, you would figure 40, like a buzzer should go off in the stadium when 40 seconds expire. It's so bizarre. It's like, it's 40, but it's not really.
To me, it's funny that we keep going for precision in all the areas, whether it's brain science or measurements on stuff that's happening out there that fast. Let's get the decision totally right in 10 seconds or 10 minutes, whether it's studying CTE in your brain or figuring out where the best athlete on the field, Lamar Jackson, put the ball out, even though I'm an old guy who was 9 yards behind it.
I do like the idea of a something going off once the clock gets down to zero. That's what, it adds tension to it. Like everyone
siren,
knows the sound is coming.
Sort of noise, some loud noise, like the taboo buzzer, like just a giant stadium taboo buzzer.
You get
buzzer.
A warning at 10, a warning at 5, and then a buzzer at 0.
Old timey car horn.
If it's in Tampa Bay, the cannon should go off.
Right. I love that.
I love that aggressively based on where it is you are. Vikings, that they still do that ship stuff with the Vikings.
Woo! Yes. Like a foghorn,
just a haunting sound of some sort to rattle the quarterback. Just some giant annoying sound. El afilador. Excellent.
It's a good limited fake Vikings horn.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Born.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.